Chapter 2, Routine, the Links to Success. After the second round of the PGA Westchester Classic in June 1992, David Frost said, "The more you can stick to a routine, the less chance of other things creeping in." Frost went on to win that tournament. June 14, 1992, LPGA Tour player Anne-Marie Polly won in Atlantic City to end a 9-year drought. Her last win was in Phoenix in 1983. She described her mental style during her last round of the 1992 win. "Routine is what saved me." Anne-Marie went on to describe how slow and deliberate her routine was. She said she played the entire week, slowed down, and totally in the present. LPGA Tour player and former U.S. Open champion Meg Mallon says the following about routine. "The thing I've learned from Mike," now Mike McGettrick is her instructor, "is that routine is such a big part of the shot. Every time I hit a shot on the range, I step back and line it up. I go through the same routine I go through on the golf course." Tiger Woods won the 1994, 1995, and the 1996 United States amateur titles. At the age of 20, in August 1996, he turned professional and won 2 events in 8 starts. He finished 24th on the 1996 money list. Woods returned in 1997 to win the first event, the TPC. A few years ago, at a tournament in Texas, Tiger was on a green during a round, and his father, Earl Woods, was talking with Charlie Sifford, a former PGA Tour player, about Tiger's consistent repeating routine and stroke. Earl Woods reportedly turned his back to Tiger on the green and began to narrate Tiger's routine to Charlie Sifford as Sifford watched. "He takes one practice stroke, he takes another. He looks at the target, he looks at the ball. He takes another look at the target, he looks at the ball. Tiger's putter blade struck the ball at the exact instant," Earl Woods said, "impact." A significant contributing factor to Tiger Woods' success is his consistent repeating routine. Consistent positive routines build consistent positive performance. Types of on-course routines. Now there are 3 distinct types of on-course routines. First, there's the pre-swing, then the in-swing, and the post-swing. Your pre-swing routine consists of everything from checking wind direction and club selection, to your setup to the ball, what you say to yourself, and your mental images during each of these conditions. Your in-swing routine consists of your physical movements as you start the club back, impact, and follow-through, your discussion with yourself and/or your mental images during the swing. Your post-swing routine begins as your follow-through ends. It consists of your physical responses and what you say to yourself or others about the shot. Your post-swing routine continues on any particular shot as long as you sustain a mood, mental image of the shot, and/or carry on a discussion with yourself about the shot or related score. For example, if I just hadn't hit it out on number 7, I would be 3 over or 3 under or whatever. Or, that shot on number 6 has really saved my round. I salvaged 2 shots with that one save. Both of these thoughts take your focus out of the present, interfere with concentration, may create arousal, and the list goes on. Every top athlete, whether in tennis, football, basketball, baseball, or golf, follows a set pre-performance routine. Note that a basketball player bounces the ball the same number of times, inhales deeply, and exhales before each free throw. A tennis player bounces the ball the same number of times prior to each serve. Football players, baseball players, and golfers have similar pre-performance routines, as do athletes in all sports. When these athletes' routines abruptly change, a deterioration in performance follows. Therefore, your goal is to establish a consistent, repeating pre-performance routine. It is important to understand the role which your brain plays in building a successful routine. Neuroscientists have explored the brain activity which precedes behavior. This research has demonstrated that the brain takes 1.5 seconds to develop a motor program for a simple voluntary movement and 1/10 of a second to execute the behavior. This motor program is called a readiness potential. During this readiness potential period, the brain is preparing the nervous system to act. The quality of the information the brain receives is directly related to the quality of performance. Other neuroscientists have found that the amount of brain activity prior to a behavior is less for previously used motor programs than for novel programs. We call these previously used programs habits. A well-practiced, positive pre-performance routine will consistently produce the best quality behavior. Throughout this book, you will read about the experiences of world-class golfers who have learned the effects various thinking styles have on their performances. These thoughts are always a part of their routines. Please remember that the brain takes 15 times longer to prepare the nervous system to behave than it does to execute the behavior. This extended period of preparation for performance is made up of thoughts and images. Routine is habit. These pre-performance routines are part of everything we do. We are creatures of habit. We tend to follow a set daily routine. We get out of bed on the same side. We shower, dress, groom, and eat in the same sequence day after day. We put the same shoe on the same foot and the same arm through our shirt sleeve in the same order each morning. These are automatic behaviors that we don't think about as we do them. They are part of our daily routine. These are examples of voluntary behaviors which rely on previously used motor programs. Because the behaviors are so well practiced, less brain activity is required to initiate the behavior. All behavior occurs as a habit. What happens when you get out of your routine? When you lose your place, so to speak, your concentration is disturbed. You become physically aroused. You become a bit disoriented, performance suffers, your irritability increases, and frustration tolerance is lowered. On the other hand, your performance will be enhanced when you follow a consistent, repeating routine. The psychology of learning. Let's digress and examine the psychology of learning as it relates to routine. The concept of behavior chains, now that's chains like in chain link, is well known to psychologists who specialize in learning. All learned behavior occurs in a chain. Each link in the chain is an increment of behavior. Take the example of an infant learning to hold and drink from a bottle. The bottle is placed in the infant's mouth. The first independent step is the child supporting the bottle with both hands while drinking. In time, the child grasps the bottle with both hands as the bottle approaches his mouth. As an adult, the complex behavior of picking up a glass with one hand and taking a drink is initiated without thought. Learning takes place in steps. I refer to these steps as links. The links form a chain and make a complete behavior in this example of taking a drink. If you alter a link in this chain, you may spill the drink, or, at the very least, the behavior becomes less efficient. This same chain concept is true no matter what behavior you consider. Alter one link in the golf swing chain, and what happens? Performance changes. The pre-swing, in-swing, and post-swing routines each occur as a series of chain links. Alter one of those links, or change the order of the links, and performance changes. The pre-swing chain and in-swing chain are connected. The quality of performance is dependent upon consistently repeated positive links in both chains. One weak link in either chain will alter performance outcome. Golf routines. In golf, we call pre-performance behaviors a pre-swing routine. Performance is improved when the exact same routine is followed internally and externally on every shot. These internal and external routines build a positive motor program. Positive, relaxed routines build good performance programs, while negative, tense routines build poor performance programs. Your internal routine is what you say to yourself about the situation. The internal and external routines occur as distinctly separated chains of behavior. If one link in either the external or internal chain is disrupted, the other links in both chains will be affected, and performance will suffer. In his 1974 book, Jack Nicklaus said, "I feel that hitting specific shots, playing the ball to a certain place in a certain way, is 50% mental picture, 40% setup, and 10% swing. That's why setting up takes me so long, why I have to be so deliberate. Unless I can get set up exactly right in relation to the shot I have pictured, I know I have no chance of executing it as planned. The internal and external behaviors that make up Nicholas's mental picture and setup, and that makes up 90%, are his pre-swing routine. In a 1995 article, he added 10% to the importance of swing. And again, I quote, "I believe golf is 80% preamble, strong visualization, correct gripping, aiming and aligning, sound ball positioning, proper posture, and 20% swing." A student I had in Florida a few years ago asked me why I thought he played better in tournaments than in a casual round of golf with his friends. This came on the heels of a discussion of how competition produces arousal and how players tend to show a deterioration in performance when feeling the pressure of competition. I asked him to describe his routine during a round with friends versus a round in competition. It became quickly apparent that during a round with friends, where he perceived himself most relaxed, he didn't step off his yardage or read putts as intently as he did during competition. In short, his routine changed. You have a routine that you follow prior to each shot. It may not be a desirable routine, but one does exist. Your routine may change depending upon the situation. Tournament play, frustration, good play, poor play, and many more situations will tend to cue changes in your routine. Your level of play will improve if you develop a consistent, positive pre-swing routine that doesn't change regardless of conditions. Pre-swing routine. Mental pre-swing routine. As already noted, your pre-swing, in-swing, and post-swing routines each occur as a chain. Each increment of behavior makes up a link in these chains. One weak link in any of these chains will impact upon your performance. Each of these three has mental and mechanical components that are integrated. I have separated the mental and mechanical in a discussion of each. Let's start with the mental side of the pre-swing chain or pre-swing routine. As I noted earlier, all behavior, whether it be internal or external, occurs as a habit. We tend to follow the same routine day after day, hole after hole. Your routine may change a bit on a particular hole. For example, if you frequently hit your tee shot into the trees on number 6 on your home course, part of your pre-swing mental routine on the number 6 tee might be, don't hit it right. If you have another group or two watching on the first tee, you may have a mental routine of, oh God, just let me get it in the fairway. Course management. There are specific steps to follow to give yourself the opportunity to hit the best shot you are capable of hitting. As you approach your ball in the fairway, you must begin to mentally analyze the conditions and picture your pending shot in order to choose a club. LPGA Tour player Meg Mellon says, "You have to visualize which way that golf ball is going and how you're going to play it. You have to be creative in looking at what the green is giving you or what the wind is doing for you, and allow those things to help you rather than hurt you in any given situation. It's taking in all the ingredients and, in a positive way, coming up with a shot that reflects the input." Let's look at the factors that make up this analysis to the point of club selection. What I'd like for you to picture now is a series of chain links connected in a vertical line. Link 1. You approach your ball, survey your lie, and consider the natural ball flight that lie will produce. Link 2. You find a target, a very precise target. Link 3. You determine your distance from the target. Link 4. You check the wind. Link 5. You determine the type of shot you are confident you can hit. Can you hit a draw, fade? Can you hit it high? Can you hit it low? And link 6. You make your club selection, deliberately removing your club from the bag and moving quietly behind the ball. These steps are called course management. The better your course management, the more likely you will choose the correct club and the more focused you will be on your shot. It is important that you know how far you can hit each club in your bag. Then consider wind, weather, and course conditions. For example, if the conditions are damp, you will have less roll and need to carry the ball closer to your targets. Some elevated greens are not part of the natural terrain. These greens will tend to be harder, and you won't be able to hold them as well with your approach shots. Choosing the right position to tee up your ball in the tee box and knowing what club you hit what distance and varying wind conditions are two examples of good course management. Course management is a consideration of the broad information pertaining to your shot. Weather, wind, lie, yardage, carry, your history of success with this shot during practice and play, and so on. As you integrate this broad information and decide on the shot you're going to hit, your attention moves from a broad to a narrow focus. The closer you get to hitting the shot, the more narrow your focus becomes. Your narrow focus is seeing the shot and seeing and feeling the swing you want to make. Your total attention goes to a specific target, ball flight, and a feeling of the swing you want to make as you move into your setup. Your focus broadens again after the shot. Let's look at a few strategies for moving from a broad to a narrow focus. Mental preparation. Once you have finished your course management, there are several strategies you can use to get yourself relaxed, confident, and focused in the present. As you move behind the ball and look at the target, recall the same shot you have hit well in the past. Picture first the ball flight and then the swing you made. Feel the shot as you do. Next, tell yourself with confident determination what you are going to do. You must believe in your ability to hit the shot. Images of similar successful shots from the past will reinforce this belief. Your movement and moment-to-moment focus are important here. As you survey your target, you should be breathing deeply and moving at a pace that fits your desired swing pace. Your thoughts should be only on the present. The concept of describing the shot you want to hit with confident determination is amplified in Tom Watson's description of his famous chip shot on number 17 at the 1982 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. He was tied with Jack Nicklaus for the lead when he hit his tee shot over the back left side of the green. Watson had a 16-foot chip to the hole from deep rough with a downhill lie and a downhill roll. Watson described his interaction with his caddy regarding that shot. "My caddy said, 'Get it close.' I said, 'Hell, I'm going to sink it. I thought if I could get my shot on line, it would hit the pin and go in. That's the way I envisioned it.' He made the shot for a birdie, which was a 2 on that hole, and went on to win the tournament. If Watson had been trying to get it close, his ball would have likely rolled 5 to 6 feet by the hole, leaving him a testy putt back for par. He never considered anything but making the shot. And as I said, he went on to birdie 18 and beat Nicklaus by 2 strokes for the 1982 U.S. Open title. Watson focused on the target, described and felt the shot he wanted to hit, and then he made it. He only thought about what he wanted to do. Patrick Burke, PGA and Australian Tour player, finished second in Bali 1 week and won the Victorian Open the following week. These finishes placed him at the top of the Australian Tour money list in November of 1994. He said that describing the details of each shot he was going to hit out loud to his caddy kept him focused in the present and gave him confidence. Consider the same shot you have hit well in the past. See the ball flight of the ball and see and feel the swing you made to hit that shot. This will build confidence and a positive motor program. Breathe deeply, describing the shot to yourself, and your mind will paint a picture. We call the picture visualization. The more aroused you become, the less accessible or fuzzier these visual images will be. The more confident you are, the more relaxed and focused you will be. The clearer these images will become, and the less likely you will be to add, delete, or change a link in your routine chain. Take a practice swing. See and feel the swing you want to make. Now settle into this image behind the ball and find an intermediate target in front of your ball with which you will align your club face. Begin to move back to the ball slowly and deliberately at a pace that you want to match your swing pace. Move to your setup position. Your sensory input should be flooded with the feeling of the club in your hand, the weight, the texture of the grip, the feeling of the ground under your feet, your target, and the color of the landing area. This sensory flooding keeps your focus in the present and only on the shot you are playing. The links in your routine chain will remain unchanged with this mindful, one shot at a time focus. Once you are over the ball and have checked your setup, turn your focus back to the target. Look at least twice at your target and deliberately shuffle your feet into position and slowly and comfortably waggle your club. Settle into this setup. Take a final deep breath and take another look at your target. Remember the following phrase: stare at the target and glance at the ball. You will read in a later chapter how Fred Couples never hits a shot without thinking of that same shot he has hit well in the past. Sam Snead used a similar strategy for what he called the first tee jitters. And this is discussed in the chapter, Fine-Tuning Your Nervous System. This strategy of thinking of a shot you hit well in the past has a similar neurophysiological effect to describing the shot you want to hit. This process is summarized in the chapter titled Visualization. I noted that your routine is like a chain and that each link in that chain makes up another step in your routine. Let's review the links in a pre-swing mental chain as it moves from a broad to a narrow focus. Let's start with a broad focus. Once again, I'd like for you to visualize, if you would, a series of chain links lined up vertically. In link one, you approach your ball, survey your lie, and consider the natural ball flight that lie will produce. Link two, you find a target. Link three, you determine your distance from the target. At link four, you check the wind. Now here's where you begin to integrate broad focus information with narrow focus. Link five, you determine the type of shot you are confident you can hit, a draw, a fade, high or low, and now we begin the narrow focus. Link six, make a club selection. Deliberately remove the club from the bag and move quietly behind the ball. Link seven, you recall or call up a similar shot from the past that you've hit well. Link eight, you set up and take a practice swing. You see and feel the swing you want to make. Link nine, you find an intermediate target in front of your ball that is in line with your primary target. Link 10, you describe the shot you're going to hit to your primary target. Link 11, as you move back to the ball, you remain focused on your intermediate target. Your movement to the ball matches your desired swing tempo. Link 12, you feel the club in your hand and the ground under your feet as you return to the ball. Your entire visual focus is on your intermediate target. Link 13, you quietly set your club behind the ball and square your club face with your intermediate target. Link 14, your eyes go to your primary target as you shuffle into your setup. Your eyes never leave your primary target until you are aligned. Link 15, you feel grounded and balanced. You stare at the target and glance at the ball. Link 17, your waggle is quiet and deliberate as you focus on your primary target and settle into your setup position in preparation to start your backswing. Again, you stare at your target and glance at the ball. Choosing your targets. Notice the primary target focus in all phases of the pre-swing routine. The target is important in consideration of distance, type of shot, and club selection. Maintain ongoing visual contact with your target as you move back to the ball and during your setup. This will help you keep a target orientation and a one-shot-at-a-time focus. LPGA Tour player Meg Mellon says, "A lot of people get locked into their golf ball and forget about where they're going to hit it." PGA Tour player Doug Toole describes a pre-swing routine where he doesn't take his eye off the target. He finds a target as he stands behind the ball and remains focused on that target until he sets up for the shot. Only then does he pay attention to his grip, stance, and posture. He says that feeling his way into the shot instinctively with this target focus produces more accurate shots. As a psychologist, I would say that the purpose of routine is to integrate broad focus information about the shot in a sequential progression that provides you with positive content in determining a club and target. As the routine chain progresses from one link to the next, your focus should narrow to a specific target. Images of ball flight to that target, and a feeling of the swing to produce that shot. This structured, repeated mental routine creates a 100% focus in the present and ensures that you relax through movement and breathing while staying focused on your target. As you focus in the present, describe to yourself with confident determination the shot you are going to hit. This internal discussion will produce visual images of the shot and help you maintain a focus on your target. The net result of these behaviors is to provide the brain with information that produces the highest level of performance within your capability. The positive, confident thoughts in your routine are incompatible with thoughts of hazards, your score, the last shot, what someone is going to think, tomorrow's meeting, and so on. In summary, this mental strategy ensures a one-shot-at-a-time focus. It blocks undesired, intrusive thoughts that are unrelated to the present or a focus on hazards looming in the distance. Sam Snead, winner of 81 regular PGA and Senior Tour events, was playing against a young pro in Charleston, West Virginia, on a course with which Sam was unfamiliar. As Sam stepped to the tee, the young pro said, "Now watch it, Sam, over to the right, there's woods and a big drop-off there, and you can get into real trouble if you hit it there." Sam commented on the young pro's discussion of the hazard as follows. "This sort of strategy I cut my teeth on, warning a man of something so strongly that it'll prey on his mind to the point of creating an almost magnetic pull when you swing the club. Talk of trouble can draw you straight into trouble." If you have discussions on the tee with your playing partners regarding trouble, or you think about the hazards looming in the distance, the result is the same. The hazard will become your focus and target to hit or avoid. You will likely either hit into the hazard or to the extreme opposite direction of the hazard. Ben Crenshaw won the 1990 PGA event, The Colonial. During an interview after his win, he said that as he stood on the 17th tee with a four-shot lead, all he was thinking about was not hooking into the trees on the left. He overcompensated and pushed his tee shot into the hazard on the right. The focus on hazards becomes the target of your nervous system. The do's and don'ts of hazards don't matter when the sensory information is processed to the brain. The flood of sensory information of thoughts, images, and discussion regarding the hazards becomes the central focus or target in the nervous system. The chapter titled Visualization, Pictures Equal Performance provides a detailed discussion of how images are precursors to behavior through the motor program the brain constructs. I would encourage you to ask the other members of your group not to discuss the hazards, just to describe and show you the targets. If you're on your home course, turn your focus to targets and off of hazards. When you walk onto a tee on a strange course, ask what your target is, not where the hazards are. Regardless of where you are, those hazards are stationary. If your ball is going to find them, it will. There's no reason to give your brain a head start. Anytime you approach a situation where you have had difficulty, your focus will likely go to the problem rather than your target. You may have difficulty hitting from sand or playing from the rough, or there may be a particular hole that you don't play well. If these thoughts intrude on your pre-swing routine, step off the ball and start your routine over from behind the ball. A good saying to remember is, what you feed attention grows. Feed attention to your targets, and the fairways and greens and cups will widen. Starting your pre-swing routine. Technically speaking, your routine begins as you approach your ball and look at your lie. You find a target, step off the distance, check the wind, and determine the type of shot you want to hit and the club you want to use. This series of links in the pre-swing routine chain is referred to as course management. You've completed the analytical chain of your routine. Now it's time to shut off the analysis and become creative. Whatever triggers your pre-swing routine should always trigger it. Jack Nicklaus describes the beginning of his pre-swing routine as the point at which he steps off his yardage. I have heard sports psychologists say that your routine should be changed weekly, or it will get too learned. That's like saying you should change the triggers for dressing, grooming, eating, and so on. Why should you not change? You will feel uncomfortable and out of sync if you keep changing. Habits become ingrained and are easy to repeat once they are learned through repetition. Like Jack Nicklaus, keep the same trigger to start your routine. The creative links of the pre-swing routine include quieting the nervous system through movement, focus and breathing, removing a club from your bag, recalling a similar shot you have hit well in the past, describing to yourself the shot you are going to hit, and maintaining a present target focus. And these are the strategies for quieting the nervous system. They are covered in the chapter titled Fine-Tuning Your Nervous System. The analytical and creative are the two distinctly separate but connected chains of the mental pre-swing routine. It is important that you complete each link in the chains in sequence. Learning occurs in patterns. The completion of one link triggers the beginning of the next link. If you are going to pause between links in two chains, the best time to pause is between the analytical and creative segments. Once you have considered your lie, the wind, and so on, and decide what club you are going to hit, this is a good resting place in your routine. For example, let's assume you are playing in a group where you are waiting for others to hit after you arrive at your ball. You check your lie and the wind. You find a target, decide on the type of shot you want to hit, and choose a club. Now wait before you remove your club from the bag. As you are waiting, stay focused on your target. The behavior of removing your club from your bag should trigger a movement and focus on sensations that are totally in the present and related to your shot and target. Pulling a club from your bag should be the trigger to move from a broad to a narrow concentration focus. If you pull the club before it is time to hit your shot, you will introduce behavior links of thinking and action that are not part of the creative behavior chain of hitting the shot, and your performance will deteriorate accordingly. Watch tour players as they walk onto a tee, or as they hit shots from the fairway or around the green. They pull the club from their bag only when it is their turn to play. The only time you will see tour players take a club before it is their turn to play is when they hit a shot onto the green. They will almost always take their putter from their caddy once their ball is on the green and walk to the green, putter in hand. The routine for the tour player begins several yards from the green. They look at the contour of the green before they walk onto it and survey their lie. They begin to read the green from both sides of the ball as they repair their ball mark and mark their ball. The majority of you aren't tour players and you don't have caddies. However, pulling your club at the right time will help you stay focused in the present and on your target. To build a solid routine, you'll need to build discrete events that trigger your routine chain. Let's consider the conditions of the average course and discuss some good habits to establish starting points in the creative links of your routine. If you are walking to an elevated tee from a riding cart and you know you are going to be using driver, leave the head cover on your driver. If you are hitting first, follow the movement, focus, and breathing strategies you will be learning as you remove the head cover. Drop the head cover between you and the cart on the path you will take back to the cart. Make this a habit and you won't have intrusive thoughts during your routine such as, I have to remember my head cover. If you walk onto that same tee and it isn't your turn to play, lean your club against a bench, a tree, or something else close to the tee ground. Pick up your club only when it is your turn to play. Taking your club in hand and removing the head cover initiates the beginning of your routine for that shot. If you walk onto an elevated tee of a par 3, take 3 or 4 clubs with you. Again, rest your clubs against some object until it is your turn to play. Do your course management of checking the wind, yardage, and pin position, and decide on the type of shot you want to hit. When it is your turn to play, pick up all of your clubs, walk to an area just off the teeing ground on the path you will take back to your cart, and lay down the clubs you aren't going to use. Your routine starts as you take the club you are going to use and walk onto the tee. How many times have you gotten to your ball, decided you didn't have the right club, and hit the shot anyway? If you are riding in a cart that must stay on the cart path, get in a habit of taking 3 or 4 clubs with you to your ball. If you hit a ball that you aren't sure is on the green, Take every possible club you might use from the edge of the green. Your routine begins once you pick up the club you are going to use. Don't waste a stroke using the wrong club simply because you don't want to hold up play while you walk back to your bag. I have one final note on the mental pre-swing routine. I was talking with a young mini tour player recently. He said he had read about the importance of a routine, but found that it disrupted his concentration. He said, "I think, look at the target, waggle, look at the target, and waggle again. And all that thinking messes me up." I laughed and said, "You're thinking instead of doing. You should not have to narrate your routine to yourself as you go through it. Practice your routine on the range with every shot you hit. With repeated practice on the range, it will soon become automatic. There is no single ideal routine. Your routine should include good course management steps, and it should be positive with a 100% present focus." The Mind Under Par series, Routine, Guided Practice in Developing Consistent Performance, has audio instructions of routines for tee and fairway shots, for shots 100 yards in, and chipping and putting. Listening to this tape often and prior to each round prepares you for practice and play and builds a consistent, repeating routine for each shot. Mechanical pre-swing routine. As a golf instructor, I would say that the purpose of the pre-swing routine is to ensure good course management and proper setup. If you check your lie, wind direction, and distance, and you know how far you hit each club, you will likely choose the correct club for the shot. I consider setup the most important mechanical link in the golf swing. If you don't have a good athletic position with good balance so that your arms swing freely, or if you don't have proper ball position at setup, your swing plane and the trajectory of your shot will be affected. If you don't place your hands on the club correctly, so that your club head returns to a square position at impact, your shot will likely not go to your target, regardless of how many mental strategies you employ. If you aren't aligned square to your target line, your swing path will correct for your alignment, and that will affect the ball flight of your shot, and again, you will miss your target. These three areas, posture, grip, and aim, or alignment, make up the final and most important links in the pre-swing routine. If one of these links is weak, altered, or incorrect, your performance will suffer. There is no reason to work on any other part of your swing until your setup is correct. As I've said, if one of your pre-swing links is weak, mentally or mechanically, you'll likely hit a poor shot. Strengthen your setup, and you will be pleasantly surprised with the rest of your swing. The source of swing problems can often be traced to setup problems. When you practice or play, take yourself through a pre-swing mental checklist of posture, grip, and aim before each shot. An easy way to remember setup is PGA, posture, grip, and aim. With repeated, focused practice, your setup will become automatic. During lessons and when you're hitting the ball well, focus your attention on the feeling of the proper setup. Jack Nicklaus describes his thought focus when he sets up to a shot during play as being directed by, and I quote, "plain willpower. You just have to force other thoughts aside. Make yourself think exclusively about your aim and alignment and your ball position and your posture. Make yourself do what you know is right in those areas and make yourself keep on doing it time and time again, even though it doesn't seem to be working. If you have enough resolution, they will ultimately begin to work," end quote. There's a saying, "don't miss the shot before you swing the club." This simply means if you aren't set up correctly, you have a weak link in your pre-swing chain that will likely cause you to miss the shot. I have often heard tour players describe how they have been setting up right or left of targets as they explain a swing problem they have been experiencing. I can't tell you how often I have watched top teachers make changes in a tour player's grip, posture, alignment, or ball position and seen major changes occur in ball flight. The best way to check your setup is to consult your local PGA or LPGA teaching professional. Al Geiberger set the record for the lowest PGA tournament round with a 59 on Friday, June the 10th, 1977. He attributed his low round to tempo and putting, and he had 23 putts during this round, and a setup change that he made a few weeks before, which he says resulted in a swing change. Lee Trevino described his late spring 1992 swing changes as related to setup. The last couple of weeks, I had my feet too far apart at address. My stance is open anyway, and I have a very bad habit of getting my left foot too far away from my body and not under my left shoulder. When that happens, I can't get over to my left side, and I hit the ball a little left or a little right. So I fixed it. It's funny, but golfers tend to revert back to the same bad habits. When you're not playing well, you try to fix in your mind all the things you're doing right, but it's impossible to record every single aspect of it. It's like a big revolving door, and you just go through the cycle over and over again. Once a good setup is established, and you are hitting the ball well, make a video and take still pictures of your setup. Post the pictures on a mirror where you can refer to them frequently. I have the tour players I work with use this as a check for their setup. Many of them talk about how playing in different conditions, especially strong wind, can affect their setup. The video and still pictures provide them with a setup reference. Once you have established a setup routine, practice it daily off the course and with each shot you hit on the range. Posture. Assuming the correct posture is relatively simple. However, static and dynamic balance must be part of the pre-swing routine. If balance is not part of the chain, if one of the links is weak, assuming your grip and alignment are correct, the best you can hope for is an in-swing save or a decent miss. Static balance is the stationary balance of the setup position. Dynamic balance is the balance maintained during the swing. One of the things all peak performers have is good balance. Look at the finish position of tour players. If you set up to the ball off balance, you will likely finish off balance. If you start with your weight on your heels or your toes, you will finish on your heels or your toes off balance. Balance affects the club head path and the trajectory of the ball. When you go through your checklist as you practice setup, be sure you incorporate balance. Feel in an athletic position. Assume a setup position as though you are getting ready to hit a shot. Tense your thighs in this position. Notice how it feels as though your weight moves up your legs toward your thighs. One of the better players I work with describes a sensation of skating on ice when he is struggling with his swing. You get this sensation when you tense your thighs. During periods of stress and frustration, you will tend to accumulate more tension in your shoulders and thighs. Now relax your thighs and notice how your weight and balance change. You should feel more grounded. The sensation should be one of your weight leaving your thighs and melting into the ground or floor. Be sure you don't let your thighs get too relaxed. Firm thighs, not tense thighs, are important in establishing a good base from which to swing. Senior PGA Tour player and former Ryder Cup captain Dave Stockton suggests that you pretend you are catching a medicine ball being dropped from above when you set up to the ball. He notes that you will most certainly flex your knees, your rear end will stick out, and your thighs will be firm, a good foundation for beginning and swinging in balance. You should feel well grounded at the ball. You should feel the same balance at setup you would feel as you prepare to field a ground ball or the balance of a defensive basketball player when guarding an opponent. You should feel an athletic position when you are balanced. Square your club face to an intermediate target and then square your stance to the target line as you deliberately assume your grip and then your posture. As you deliberately shuffle your feet into your stance, feel that static balance. Now you're ready to start your swing. Then begin to work on feeling that balance through your entire swing, or the dynamic balance, to your finish position.
This was the first part of Routine, the Links to Success. Please continue with the second part of this ebook.